We now turn to the book of Proverbs, to chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll read the verses 10 through 31. And the text is the verses 30 to 31. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10, we now listen to the word and wisdom of our God as follows. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks woven flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our text is part of what is called wisdom literature. Many nations have their proverbs, sayings of the wise, but the book of Proverbs is unique. It teaches us true wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's a fundamental theme for the book of Proverbs. To fear the Lord means to stand in awe of Him and to honor Him. And then you respect Him and live according to what He has revealed. Observe the wife and mother in our text. She shows how being God-fearing transforms a person's life. She is a blessing to people in her family and outside her home. So let's reflect on the word of our God under the following theme. Connection with our text. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We'll focus on three points: the source of her strength, the activities of her life, and the fruit of her works. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We'll focus on the source of her strength, the activities of her life, and the fruit of her works. The book of Proverbs is especially important for young people. Now let's start with that. Consider the passage we just read. You young men and women should be asking yourselves, how it applies to you. What kind of people should you aspire to be if you're looking for a spouse? What's important to you? Who can find a virtuous wife? That's how the passage we read begins. The ESV, the English Standard Version, offers a better translation here. An excellent wife, who can find? And that shows a clearer link to verse 29, which the ESV translates as, many women have done excellently. An excellent wife, who can find? And this opening question shows we're talking about an exceptional woman. The word excellent here can also mean able, capable, or strong. And just read what this woman does. The description teaches us to value the role of a wife and mother in a family. Young men looking for a spouse will also find it enlightening. Not every woman you might feel attracted to is a suitable lifetime partner. Be careful whom you choose. Our text gives some important guidelines. Some young women can be charming and beautiful. Scripture doesn't deny this. Charm and beauty are not inherently evil. But they shouldn't be a priority either. Our text makes this very clear. Just look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. There's a deep spiritual intent behind these words. It opposes the mentality cherished by the film industry where a beautiful face can be a ticket to success. The admonition in our text should help us see something of the far-reaching effects of the fall into sin. Charm can be misleading. Someone can have very fine manners and seem very considerate, but it can all be a show, a thin veneer. Just think of cheap furniture. Underneath a great-looking surface layer, there can be just plain particle board or fiberboard. And the same applies to people. Charm can camouflage a heart that's not focused on serving God. And the order of the words of our text in Hebrew highlights this problem. Deceitful is charm. And the word for deceitful also means a lie. Watch out for it. A whirlwind courtship can lead to a very stormy marriage. Do you find someone attractive? Why? Before committing yourself to a permanent relationship, get to know her well. Ask yourself some basic questions. Is the woman you want to marry truly pleasing to the Lord? Take time for prayerful discernment. Her face may be angelic, matched by polite manners. But being a good wife and mother requires much more than just that. Don't let yourself fall in love only based on appearances. If that's all you pay attention to, you might regret your short-sightedness for the rest of your life. There's a saying, a man will forgive a beautiful woman 1,000 faults. Beauty softens a man's heart. It can, however, also lead to foolishness on his part. If a man marries a woman for her looks, how strong can the marriage be? That's why our text gives us a twofold warning to bring us to our senses here. Beauty is vain, is one way that is translated. Or beauty is passing. And in Hebrew, the order is just the way around. Passing is beauty, or vain is beauty, meaning It's just a breath. It's here one moment and gone the next. And consider that if you're looking for a wife. Young men, what attracts you to a certain woman? Are charm and beauty her only strengths? Her appearance may please you now, but time will leave its marks on her body. It deteriorates with age, usually losing the attractiveness that it once might have had. And will you find her just as attractive when she has put on pounds and her face gets wrinkled? If you're only attracted to her body and face, her flaws will eventually irritate you. So, what are you looking for? What should you be looking for? After all, appearances can be deceiving. True beauty is more than skin deep. Our text points that out. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's what the Lord regards as important. And that's what we should therefore also value most highly. A woman who fears the Lord has deep reverence for him. The Bible means more to her than a fashion magazine. She's eager to know what pleases God. She's willing to put that into practice. Knowing that he is both king and judge, she doesn't want to violate his commandments. She avoids evil and pursues what is good. And this God-fearing lifestyle is not born of a spirit of legalism. It's a loving response to the Lord who has shown himself to be the loving Savior of his people. In New Testament terms, we would say, she's a Christian woman. She's not perfect, but she asks God for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. She also knows that the Spirit of Jesus Christ can strengthen her to live a holy life focused on serving God. Such a woman is to be praised, says our text. Is your mother like that? Show that you value who she is. Honor her. Do you hope to marry someone like the woman in our text? Wonderful. Value a God-fearing nature more than anything else. He is the source of her wisdom and strength. A God-fearing woman aims to serve him. And the wife that our text speaks of is a gift from God. In Proverbs 18, verse 22, we read about this. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And this proverb doesn't mean that every wife is by definition good. It assumes that one has a good wife. And that becomes clear in chapter 19, verse 14, where we read, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent woman fears the Lord. This is how she gains insight into the things that matter in life. And brothers, if you hope to get married, pray for one like that. Our text can help you to recognize who to look for. God-given wisdom comes from being very familiar with the Bible. That's the way to learn who the Lord is and how to live as his children. He reveals himself through his word and gives us the spiritual insight we need for daily life. As New Testament believers, knowing the Lord God also involves knowing Jesus Christ. Through him who is the Son of God, we learn to know our Heavenly Father. And through him, we live in fellowship with our triune God. Beloved, Fear the Lord if you want your life to be fruitful. His word should form the basis for your life. Lay your sins and weaknesses before Him, asking Him for forgiveness and strength. He can help you fulfill your responsibilities in the right way. Our text tells us that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And we've seen that He is the source of her strength. Let's now focus on the activities of her life. This is our second point. The book of Proverbs is a very practical book. It shows us how wisdom, which involves fearing the Lord, can function in our everyday life. In Proverbs 31, the verses 10 to 31 are unique in this respect. Even the form of the passage in the Hebrew language attracts special attention. Every verse starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet from first to last. And putting things in this ABC structure is a form of Hebrew poetry. It's an effective way to teach the ABCs of the life of a God-fearing wife and mother. And the contents are certainly worth taking to heart, whether you know Hebrew or not. Some commentators would prefer to see the activities grouped differently. For example, activities concerning textiles, agricultural concerns, food supply, clothing, personal interaction with members of the household, etc. That's typically a male approach to things. It shows a lack of understanding of a woman's work. Of course, we don't get a list of activities grouped according to categories. That's not the purpose. This is a picture of everyday life. Scholars work systematically, but running a household differs from writing a book. Watch a woman fulfilling her role as a wife and a mother. There are daily routines. Our scripture passage gives several examples of this, but unexpected things happen too. They often get dealt with on the spot or while other activities continue. A capable housewife improvises to make time for everything. And the passage we read lists activities specific to what we might call a middle-class family living centuries before Christ was born. Some countries still have families with a similar lifestyle, but in Canada the situation is different. How many women here spin wool, manage servant girls, buy a field, or plant a vineyard? Yet, we can learn things from the verses we read together. Some might conclude that this passage supports holding down a job outside the home. Doesn't the woman described here do many things outside her home? Sure. But don't equate that with a working mother nowadays. You might work outside your home, but that's not what this passage addresses. Although this woman leaves her home for what we might call business reasons, she does this in connection with her home. Her home is the base from which she operates. She doesn't work for a boss somewhere else. In the first verse of this ABC poem calls her a wife, and the next verse brings her husband into the picture. He's the head of the household. But that doesn't mean he does everything himself. He has delegated many things to her. Proverbs 31 verse 11 shows us this when it says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. And that's because she has proved that she is trustworthy. As a result, she has lots of room for her own initiatives. This wife doesn't work for someone else outside her home. She has her own home business. And look how busy she is. What does her husband do? We read that he is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Readers nowadays sometimes smile at this. They conclude that the husband is inactive, while his wife does all the work. And that, however, is not a proper conclusion. People conducted business at the city gates. The elders of the city dealt with social and administrative matters there. What does it mean that the husband is known in the gates and sits among the elders of the land? It means that he has a prominent position. He's a somebody, not a nobody. Proverbs 31 doesn't offer further explanations about him beyond this. After all, Scripture isn't focusing on him here, but on his wife. She's the key figure in this passage. Her activities show how important her role in family life is. And the activities of a God-fearing woman differ from place to place. And nevertheless, we may draw certain general conclusions from Proverbs 31. Her contribution to her husband in his life is positive. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. As a God-fearing wife, she helps her husband. She works with him, not against him. And that's why he can trust her and depend on her. She's a reliable woman. The book of Proverbs cautions us that not all wives are like that. We read in Proverbs 21, verse 9, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And contentious means quarrelsome. And similarly, Proverbs 21, verse 19 states, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. The word angry points to someone who's irritable or ill-tempered. Job's wife didn't offer him spiritual support when he sat in ashes, scraping his painful sores with a piece of broken pottery. We read in Job 2, verse 9, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Solomon had wives who influenced him to commit idolatry. Ahab was not a good king, but having a wife like Jezebel didn't do him any good either. She urged him on in his wickedness. Don't take having a supportive wife for granted. Material wealth might be worth a lot to some people, but that's nothing compared to a good wife. Scripture declares in our passage that her worth is far above rubies. The Lord himself teaches us to see this, brothers and sisters. Take it to heart. This wife is very industrious. She doesn't lounge around in bed until all hours of the morning. Every morning she wakes up early and fills her day with a variety of activities. She willingly works with her hands. Verse 13. In the evening when it's dark, you'll still find her busy. And the verses 19 and 20 form the heart of this poem. And what do we see there? The hands that spin cloth also help the needy. Some people live from one day to the next without setting goals and making plans. The Lord our God, however, is a God of order. As his image bearers, we are to lead structured lives. We see examples of this in the passage we read. This wife organizes her work, making the most of her time. She fears the Lord, so she wants to serve him well through her daily activities. And this doesn't mean she's a workaholic who makes material prosperity her goal in life. Her goal is to be productive, caring well for the needs of her family. She's also sensitive to the struggles of the poor and therefore takes time for them. The woman in our text knows that idle talk is not constructive and that it can even be destructive. Proverbs 31 verse 26 underlines this for us. She opens her mouth with wisdom. and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And the word kindness often describes the covenant faithfulness, the loving kindness or loyalty of the Lord toward his people. And it can also describe the loyalty and kindness the Lord expects us to show to each other. Never underestimate the influence of a woman as a wife and a mother. She can be a powerful influence for good and be a blessing to her husband and children. Not all women are wise. There are also many foolish women. Wise women fear the Lord. They contribute constructively to the life of their families. The lifestyle of foolish women is destructive because of its wrong orientation. They don't live for the Lord according to his will, but according to their own standards. And that's a life without a bright future. Proverbs 14 verse 1 puts this in a nutshell for us. The wise woman builds her house, but a foolish pulls it down with her own hands. Woman of Proverbs 31 builds her house carefully. She looks ahead and plans how to use her time. As a result, her household members have suitable clothes for changing seasons. And that's part of a total lifestyle in which she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In those days, women couldn't waste their time on cell phones or in front of the TV or in reading a variety of useless magazines or books. There was no internet either. But they could still let days go by without getting anything done. Too many social contacts, for example, could lead to the lifestyle of a gossip. This woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. He is the source of her strength. Look at what she does and how she does it. And let's now also consider the fruit of her works. And this is our third point. Many jobs lead to visible, lasting results. You can later point to the spot and declare, "I did that." Or if you're in construction work, you can point to a house or a porch or a fence and say, "I built that." But if a mother just mopped the floor and even one child walks in with muddy boots, she wonders what the point was of the work she did. Her satisfaction lasted only a moment. And similarly, tasks like washing dishes and doing the laundry are repetitive. They can feel boring and mind-numbing. They lead to temporary results instead of the progress that some other occupations involve. And the Lord knows what frustrations a wife and mother can go through. And that's why he urges us all to take time to show appreciation for her work. She deserves to hear that. Her contribution to family life is essential. Express gratitude for her efforts. Our text calls you to do that. Verses 28 to 29 show us a family scene that illustrates the point of our text. It looks like it might be a special occasion, an especially festive moment. The women's children rise up and call her blessed. And there are two verbs in Hebrew for blessing or being blessed. One, barach, is used when God blesses someone. And this can be the case when that person, even when that person did nothing to deserve it. And the other verb, ashar, refers to a person being called blessed in connection with what he or she has done. And this state of being blessed or being called blessed results from having responded in a positive way to God's revelation. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1, for example. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." And this state of blessedness is closely related to happiness, or what we would call bliss. In Proverbs 31, the children of this God-fearing woman call her blessed. She has feared the Lord and responded positively to his revelation. And they appreciate this deeply. In their praise, these children also acknowledge the Lord. He gave her the strength she needed. And doing what the Lord wants you to do gives a deep sense of satisfaction in life. And that satisfaction deepens when children express their appreciation for her work. Her husband exclaims, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." He acknowledges that he has a wife of excellent character. She is a capable woman and shows it in what she does. When this husband expresses his joy in his wife, he is acknowledging what a unique gift the Lord has given him. This woman deserves to be praised. Our text is clear about this. The Lord gave her the strength, and she responded to him by using her God-given abilities well. By faith, she has become a channel of blessings for this family and for people elsewhere. Give her the fruit of her hands, verse 31. Give her credit for what she has done. How often do you stop to consider what your own mother has done for you? You men who are married, do you realize what your wife does all day? How often have you expressed appreciation for how she fulfills her task at home as a housewife or a mother? Thank your wife or mother regularly. Whereas many women seek fulfillment in a job outside their homes, if husbands and children would show more appreciation at home for what they do, let her own works praise her in the gates. Her fruitful activities even deserve recognition by people in the surrounding community. Look at the ABCs of the poetry about this housewife and mother. What she does is not dumb work. Probably not a few sisters among us will be thinking, who can measure up to this description? Remember that the Bible is portraying an ideal picture here. We haven't all had ideal mothers. Not every wife is like the one in Proverbs 31. But this passage can still help us in many ways. Use it for reflection and self-examination. What are our priorities in life as men and women, or boys and girls? What kind of men or women do we seek to be or to be with? Do you see your shortcomings in the mirror of this scripture passage? It's not a bad thing. You also see a task to aspire to. That begins on your knees. You pray before you work, or don't you? You can't serve the Lord in your own strength, can you? None of us can. We have looked at the portrayal of the wisdom of a God-fearing person in action. Fearing the Lord, like the woman of Proverbs 31, involves looking to our God for forgiveness and new strength every day. And this applies to each one of us, whatever the task is that the Lord has given us. It applies to you whether you're married or not. Isn't Jesus Christ your Savior? Didn't he die on the cross for you? He arose from the dead and ascended to heaven. He promises his Spirit to enable you to serve him. Family life can only blossom through Christ. By faith, a husband can learn to function as a proper head of his household. By faith, a wife can learn to function as his helper, serving God together with her husband. By faith, children learn how to respect their parents. And what joy this gives in life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. What could such wisdom and knowledge look like in your life? How could you put that into action? Think about that prayerfully. Work on it persistently. The Lord is the source of our strength. He gives meaning to our daily activities. And when we trust in Him, our lives will be fruitful. What a blessing that is. Amen. Let's now unite in prayer. Our Father in heaven, how humbling it is to read your word, to listen to it, and to reflect on how it applies in our lives. You've spoken to us about a woman who fears you. And in various ways, as we reflect on that, we realize that we have our shortcomings. We therefore thank you for the good news of forgiveness of sins and for a new life in Jesus Christ. And we pray for all that is needed to walk in your ways. We thank you for the blessings that you have given through mothers, also mothers in our midst. And we pray for strength for them in their continuing tasks. We remember that in the body of Christ there are also widows and widowers. We pray for strength for them. We also pray for those who are unmarried and looking for a good spouse. Will you grant that they may search for one according to your word? We pray for young men and young women. May they aspire to be God-fearing and to express this through what they think, say, and do. We pray that you will strengthen each and every one of us, whether we are single or married, that we may serve you, for you are our God. You have made us your own through Jesus Christ. You call us to a life of service. And you grant to each and every one of us what we need to be fruitful to the glory of your name. To be fruitful, whether we are single or married, whether we are still at home or living on our own, or part of the family, will you give us what we need, personally, and also in church life, and in the society in which you have given us a place. May we reflect something of your love in our interaction with others. We pray for health and for strength in your service. We remember also Ian Cameron, who is suffering from severe back problems. We grant that ways and means may be found to alleviate his pain and to help him to be able to take up his regular activities uninjured. Father, we also pray for the Roosma family as the vacation time for Pastor James's ending. We pray that you will give him and also his wife all that is needed to serve you fruitfully in the midst of the congregation. Grant that he may do his work with joy, with gratitude to you, with love. We pray, Father, for all the office bearers and their families in our midst. You grant them all that they need to be active and fruitful in ministering to the needs of the congregation together. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to be our guide, our source of strength in all that you give us to do. Keep us from harm and evil. We ask that you will be with those who are on vacation, that you will keep them safe, and grant that a time of relaxation may also be a time for reflection and for getting re-energized for tasks lying ahead of them. We pray for safety for those who are on the roads, when you watch over them in their travels. We commit ourselves and our lives to you, Heavenly Father, and to your care. We pray that you will be with us according to your promises in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.